most major universities probably have capabilities like that available. So.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, our next speaker is B.B. Singh. And he's talking about feeding the world in the 21st century. So I think the two previous papers we've had are very relevant to his presentation.
Thank you, sir. Good afternoon. I don't claim to be an expert on feeding the world, but I was associated as a cowpea breeder at IIT for 27 years, and I had pleasure of working with Dr. Borlaug for 12 years in Nigeria under his global Sasakawa Global 2000 project. And I have been hearing and listening and reading so many ideas and sometimes scary ideas about feeding the world in 21st century, what will happen. So with my international experience and as a scientist, ground-to-earth experience, I thought I should put some of the ideas from a scientific standpoint, and I will share that with you. I have taken some successful pictures of wheat, rice, and grain legumes, and so on, and I don't want to go to the definition of sustainability and so on. I'll just move on to the next. So my outline of presentation is a recapitulation of the Green Revolution that is feeding us up to us, and India is a major beneficiary, and I'm grateful on behalf of India to Dr. Borlaug and all those who made it successful. But anything good happens, there are some critics all the time. So that Green Revolution invited some criticism, then population projections and what are the food needs and what are the possible ways of feeding the world. So increase in some area, although many people are scaring us that there will be no land left after some time. We have exhausted all the land. But I'll show you that still there is land available. Then increase the yield per hectare per year through just bridging the yield gap. There are many countries where yield level is still very low. Increase the yield potential itself and then promote intensive and multiple cropping. Maximize fertilizer and water use efficiency. How can we get maximum benefit so it doesn't run into water system? Reduce the yield losses, and biotechnology is coming up with novel ideas of how to do that. Expand scientific and intensive agriculture. Reduce use of food grains for meat production. In U.S. and developed countries, 600 million tons of food grains are being used just to produce meat, and that meat is causing cancer, blood pressure, heart problem, and so on. Can we reduce that a little bit? And then reduce the use of food grains for biofuels. So some of these things I will go through quickly. A recapitulation of Green Revolution, most of you are aware of it. It's a gift, I always openly say, it's a gift from U.S. to the third world. The ideas and concept came from some of your great leaders, starting from George Washington, Franklin D. Roosevelt, Henry Wallace and others came into picture. So that has helped us. And U.S. took an initiative to improve food production in Mexico. That was your neighbor at that time. And Henry Wallace, as a vice president, started the ball rolling. Then came the Indo-American assistance. And the wheat varieties that were developed by Dr. Borlaug in Mexico were sent to India by USDA. And Indians tested it. And they found it was very high yielding. 1 ton Indian varieties versus 4 or 5 tons the Mexican Dr. Borlaug's varieties. And India imported 18,000 tons of seed from Mexico. Seldom this is done, but Dr. Borlaug discussed with our Prime Minister and they chartered Boeing 707, imported 18,000 tons of seed from Mexico and 500,000 demonstration, 1 acre demonstration throughout the country. And within 2 years we had a revolution. And the countries used a stamp. A stamp to commemorate that. And these were the wheat in India. At that time, the local wheat was very poor yielding. And this stamp was issued. This is Prime Minister Indira Gandhi. She is one of the most successful prime minister in the world. And being a woman, she is my heroine. And I say that women are better than men because they can do everything better than men, plus also raise a family. She raised 2 beautiful children. One of them became prime minister. And I think the women in the world should be proud to be women. Dr. Borlaug then got Nobel Prize in 1970, and most of you know the definition of green revolution. We are forgetting. The environmentalists and others don't understand that to grow food, we need nutrients, we need this, and sometimes they overstretch. But the definition of green revolution is high-yielding varieties, which we have, but it needs water, fertilizer, pesticide to protect, and then easy way of growing it. So that's the definition that, and India and others adopted this. Then when the wheat revolution came, at the same time, Erie was coming with dwarf rice varieties and the model of that, and IR-8 was the first one. That's one of the tall varieties that were grown there. 1 ton versus, again, 7 ton. IR-8 was about 6-7 tons, and that came as a kind of a revolution. So wheat and rice put together, India made a lot of progress. And starting from 1961 and 65-66, India was in a very bad shape. Actually, some of the economists wrote that India in 1975 will be wiped out from the face of earth. And 1975, India was exporting food. So you can see what happened. Within a few years, India's yield increased and the total production from 87 million tons to 235 million tons. But when things like this happen, not everyone keeps doing it. They get complacent, relaxed, and then things start happening. Now, the effect of green revolution, even though it was wheat, started with wheat and rice, but it picked up with all other crops, root crops, vegetable crops, fruits, milk, meat, and you can see the graph of all this commodity going up over the period. And when this happened, then came same India, which benefited maximum, became complacent. In 1990, we had a lot of buffer stock, and our economists started calculating that we are spending too much money maintaining the buffer stock, so no more fertilizer, no more irrigation, and they virtually suspended the green revolution. And as a result, India is now importing wheat from Australia and other places. Our population is going up. So complacency came, and some continent like Africa even didn't catch up with it because they don't want to organize irrigation, fertilizer, and they are still at one-ton level, and I'll come back to that a little bit later. And criticism from environmentalists and social elite came about fighting for an environment, and even some uninformed rich are looking for organic food. They want less pollution in their food, which is uninformed. I will give you some example later. And many developed countries where grain is much more than they need, they use it to feed cows and others to produce meat. And that is getting a lot of our food into that system. So currently, from almost 1995-2000, the food production in the world is stagnant and population is going up. And in the next 40 years, it is predicted that we will be 9 billion. So this is the current situation, and I don't want you to look at the whole thing. Just look at this. 1961, the per capita availability of cereals was 300 kilograms, and now it is 366. So we have kept pace with the population growth, and this is the lower one is the total food production. So we are almost there, but we need more now because 2 billion more people will come up in the next few decades. And most of this growth will be in Asia and Africa. So this is where the challenge is. To feed people, and India will be prominent because 1.2 billion will become maybe 1.6 or so billion. So major growth will be in India, China, and Africa. So our challenge is mostly to produce extra here. Now, how much food do we need? Now, it's a different figure for different people, but if we look at the World Health Organization recommendation, based on your year, the age, the calorie requirement varies, but if you take average of everything, it will come to about 2600 calories. Although as you are adult, it will be 3000, 4000, but young. So overall about 2600 calories. And I have done the calculation, let's not go through that. About 220 kilogram of cereals per year per person is what is needed to meet that gap. And the rest will come from meat, milk, egg, vegetables, and so on. So about 220 kilograms, which comes to about 600 grams per day. And how much is available now in different countries? If you look at the last column, these are the different countries, the top 10 high population countries. And India is just at that border of 200 kilograms. And Africa is 195. Japan is lowest, but they have a lot of money selling their electronic goods and they import food from outside. But rest of the countries are okay. Pakistan and India, more or less Bangladesh, are the same. China is even higher than 200 kilograms. So 200 is minimum, but if you look at the trade and buffer stock and so on, you need at least 300 and so on. So India and Africa are the ones who are below the level of what is needed. And if we calculate that now, it's simple calculation, 700 billion now and 9 billion in 50, it is little over one-third, so 35%. If we can increase 35% more food in next 40 years, we will be at the present level of consumption, including meat and biofuel and everything. So our challenge is to grow 35% more in next 40 years. Now, this is where some of the people who are scaremongers, they say, even yesterday I made a statement that it should be double. Our present food production should be double in next 40 years. Some say 90%, some say 70%. And this is something which scares people. But I think actually we need 35% of what we are producing today. And that 35% should be possible. Now, the increasing land area, now many places you might have heard people say the land was half a hectare 50 years ago, now it will be 0.05 hectare or so on and so forth. That's not the case. Again, if you look at it, this has been the actual increase in area in the last several years. So if you look at, this is the potential area in the world is 2.9 billion hectares. Presently, 1.4 billion hectares is being cultivated, and 1.5 is there. It is not high productive, but marginal. So that is the potential area available. And if you look at what has happened in the last 40 years, 50 years, 962 million hectares was being cultivated in 61. It increased to 1.1 billion, and now it is 1.4, actually not 1,200. So there has been 30% increase over time. And in the last 20 years, is about 11% increase. So in the next 40 years, even if there is a 10% increase in land area, which is just keeping pace in how it is going, and Africa, Latin America, even part of Asia have land that will go on. If 10% land increase takes place, so 10% of 35% food is automatically from land. And it will happen. It is happening in Brazil. It is happening in Africa. So there will be some increase in land area. And even if it's 10%, that takes care of the 10%. Now, this is the yield gap. And I want you to look at Africa and India. And this is where major population growth will happen. And what is happening now? Africa uses 10 kilogram, less than 10 kilogram fertilizer per hectare per year, and their yield is 1 ton. It's almost like 1960 level of India and the rest of the world. India, which was the birthplace of Green Revolution, had 1 ton in 1961, and they are only 2.6 tons because they use only 90 kilogram fertilizer per hectare per year. They stopped. They blocked that in 1990. Rest of the world is 200, 300. China is 285. Their yield is 5.5. So if we increase fertilizer consumption in Africa and in India, and it will not hurt the environment. If any environmentalist is here, I bet that it will not affect because 10 kilogram doesn't do anything. So that will be possible to grow more food in India and Africa. Here is an example of China. China and India were almost the same level. Now China is 5 ton, India is 2.4 ton because India uses only about 16 million tons of fertilizer. China is using 34 million tons. So it's a fertilizer is a major thing. Here's an example of India, long-term experiment. Put NPK plus farmyard manure, the yield is reduced only a little bit. This is the rice yield over time. And you use only nitrogen, then rice yield has gone down to almost as if no fertilizer was used. So in India, nitrogen is subsidized. So farmers use only nitrogen, no phosphorus. And as a result, the soils are being bad. So we have to have balanced fertilizer. This is an example of a balanced wheat and rice and so on. Now, phosphorus is one which is expensive. It is not available. But look at the effect of phosphorus on soybean. 0P and next door 40P, this is different sky. So a little bit effect of fertilizer, phosphorus balance is what is needed. And I hope it will come out. Potential yield in Africa, right-hand side is what has been demonstrated. Me and Dr. Borlaug demonstrated, and that is the current yield. So if Africa uses a little bit of more fertilizer management, they can double, triple their yield potential. This is what Dr. Borlaug did here. This is a maize without and with fertilizer. You can see that And Dr. Borlaug showed that with zero fertilizer, it's 1 ton. With 30 kilogram, will be 3 tons. And 90 kilogram, will be 6 tons. With the same soil, same climate, and same water. In my work, we have shown that with high-yielding cowpea varieties, with a little bit of good management, the top slides here will be like this, 300-400% extra yield. So it's possible. And these 60-day cowpea varieties, cassava varieties, and so on, are coming up. Now increasing the yield potential per se, the example of maize in U.S., it is still going up, 10-ton average of the whole country, whereas India is 1.8 tons. So we can increase the yield by super wheat, super rice varieties, and resistant to drought and low phosphorus and others will reduce the yield loss. Biotechnology has come of the age now. And okay, let's see. This is some work we are doing for intensive agriculture, precision agriculture, hydroponics, and meat, grains used for meat production should go down. And as you know that meat conversion for beef is very bad, 12 kilo versus 1 kilo, and this should go down. And biofuel should come more from cellulosic. And we hope that with these measures, we should be able to feed the world in 21st century without much problem. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.